that we have. We ask you to guide us by your mighty spirit and let your will be done. We are truly grateful for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. It's a blessing to see you all. So today, I'm going to share that we have. We ask you to guide us by your mighty spirit and let your will be done. We are truly grateful for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. It's a blessing to see you all. So today, I'm going to share with you some master keys that I believe are going to help us all. Amen. And first of all, I just want to share with you. There are just three things that I want to share. So the first thing is the basis for Lablam, which is learn about ministry. Learn about business by learning about ministry. In other words, learning about money or learning about prosperity and learning about doing well financially by learning about ministry. Amen? Now, the first thing is that how can the ministry of Jesus Christ and the Word of God be connected to finances and doing well financially? All right, how can that be possible? How can that be possible? Because there is a great linkage and a great link, I should say, between prosperity, flourishing, doing well financially, and spirituality. So it is really a spiritual thing, much more than you think it is. All right. There are different notions that people have about prosperity, and one of them is that, you know, it's just about giving and receiving. Give and receive. Give and receive. Give and receive. But that's a very small part of prosperity. Giving money. It's a small thing. Not small as in it's not important, but it is based on and on much more than just giving money. That's why a lot of people give money and they don't have anything still. Yes. People give. Prosperity is not just give. When you give, you will get. God is not playing games. I mean, let's be serious. It's God is not in a game like a casino or something. If you put in a coin and you press it hard enough, then a lot of money is going to come. I think we should grow out of that. You know, there's more to people prospering than sowing a seed or giving some money. That's a very important thing. I'm not belittling that, but prosperity is much more than that. So the question is, how would somebody like me, do you see, who is not a businessman and have anything to say about business or flourishing, prospering? Do you see? That's a good question. Because if I'm invited to speak to a church about church growth and about ministry and about evangelism and crusades and soul winning and discipleship, sacrifice, anointing, and so on, you could understand. So now, how does it come to ministries? Is it business? You must ask yourself that question. And because I also wonder why you even come to listen to me, since I'm into discipleship, anointing, Holy Ghost, evangelism, prayer. Yes, so winning. The banner that was here before you came was called Everything by Prayer and Nothing Without Prayer. That was the banner. I was here for 4 days teaching about everything by prayer, nothing without prayer. You understand? That is understandable why I would be doing that. But now you are people who are into business, generating money, trying to achieve things and so on. How would somebody like me, who is a churchman, I'm very dedicated to the church. I don't do business at all. I don't do any business. Yes, I don't do business at all. I don't even rent things. It's true. Yes. I don't. I'm only church. And I plan to stay so. I believe that is what God wants for me. So that's the question, is like, why, what would I have to say, since I'm so dedicated to church things, have to say about business? But you see, God has laid it on my heart to talk about it, because it's something that I have been silent about, you know. And so I've been silent about it, and been watching the people who say they are doing business. Do you see? Waiting and hoping for them to prosper in a certain way. And honestly, I don't think I've seen a certain level of prosperity. And you may ask, how do you know you've not seen a certain level of prosperity? I know because, you know, I think that there are some people who are greedy and selfish, but I don't think there are many. I don't think people are so selfish and greedy, like they won't give. I think people will give if they have. That's what I think. And now I should think something good about my people. I don't have to have bad thoughts. I feel that if people have, they will give. So when I try to raise funds or ask people to give, especially special offerings and so on, I can see the difficulty. Yes, people have difficulty, you know, in reality. So you can see, if you're a pastor, that people are, it's not easy. And they always say, there's no money in the system. Things are not working. We are hoping for things to improve. Maybe the new government. Maybe this. Maybe that. Yes. And so on. It will get better. So there is a lot of that. But I'm saying that a pastor can easily notice the frustrations. We dedicate people's houses. We dedicate people's cars. We dedicate their businesses. So a pastor is someone whom should be listened to. You know, I once told someone, he wanted to stand for election. I told him something, it probably surprised him. But he did it. You know, he did it and he won his election. But you wouldn't think that they would know. But you see, when you're a pastor, you know things in a way that somebody who is a businessman or sometimes a politician, they don't really know. Because when people are crying, we are there.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes, we are there for crying. We are there for funerals. We are there for houses. We are there for good times. We are there for weddings. We are there for everything. Their children, school fees, schools, lives. If people don't have, you can feel it very quickly from the pastor. So politicians will do well to listen to what the pastor has to say about the feeling that is in the system. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. For instance, the last election we had, the feeling that was there must have been a very strong feeling, because it just switched completely to another side, you know, to surprise everyone. The feeling that you get on the media and the publicity side was that, oh, this side was going to win. Then it just completely went the other way, like Donald Trump. You know, it just went. And Donald Trump didn't win by a small margin. He won by far. He won his party by far. No one had done that. They didn't have to go to the convention to for him to win. He had won before they got there. Several spots of elections he had won already before they went to the convention. So the convention was just a formality. So it means that there was a sentiment and there was a feeling in the people. But you won't see it from the media. You see it from the under. Are you with me? So I'm just questioning the basis for me being here today. And then the basis for you coming to listen to me. For business. Since I'm a church person, really. I'm a real church person. And all my life is dedicated to God's work and the church. Do you see? So if I don't answer this question, I question why you are here. Do you want me to answer this question? I think I should answer. Otherwise, you may have to leave immediately. All right. So let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Right? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. All right, and also of that which is to come. This, verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. All right, so the first reason for which somebody like me, who is a church person, belonging fully to Jesus, will have something to say and something that may help your business or your life in ministry is that godliness is profitable to all things. Godliness affects all areas. So godliness affects finances. When we say godliness, things to do with God affect business, affect prosperity, affect work, affect every area. And it says, having promise of the life that now is. This current life. So you see, if you had thought that, oh, godliness is profitable for your mansion in heaven, your transport in heaven, your angelic support, and all the other things, then you would have perhaps said, yes, it's a spiritual, godliness is profitable unto all spiritual things. But what he's saying is that godliness is profitable to every area. So there is no area of life that church and godliness does not affect. Godliness and Christianity and church affect all areas. So, as we are here about God, we are here trying to study about God, right? It definitely has an effect on your business, your work, your life. If you think that it doesn't, then you don't know what godliness is about. Anything to do with God has an effect on business. I mean, even just let's say, you know, you don't smoke. The Lord will save you money. You don't drink. Your incomes the canker worms which eat your money are too less. Once I went to a doctor and I was surprised. He asked me, said there are five things we need to know. One, your weight and your height. And then he said, do you smoke? Do you drink? Do you exercise? And your blood pressure. These were the five things he was asking me. He said, these are your risk for heart disease. Yes, and there's a risk for almost all diseases. Your weight, he said, what your weight and your height, we need to know that. We need to know whether you drink alcohol. You drink alcohol, I said, no, I don't drink. And do you smoke? I said, I don't know. He said, two out. He's left with three. Then your height and your weight, and then exercise. He asked me about exercise. I said, I play golf. He said, how often do you play? And I told him, he said, okay, then that's okay. Then your blood pressure. These five for risk for heart disease. And most cancers have something to do with weight. And fat. Yes, including prostate, breast, all of them. You see? And most of them have something to do with alcohol, have something to do with smoking. All the cancers. Apart from heart disease and all those things. So, I mean, just being godly alone is extending your life. I mean, it just starts. It just starts. Beautiful. So godliness, I mean, it already started saving you money.
Wow.
HIV. You'll be saved from HIV. Because you are not going to interact with certain juices.
That's a message.
Yes. Yes. You are saved from HIV. You are saved from hospital, antiretroviral drugs. Death. I mean, so many things. Huh? Opportunistic infections, tuberculosis, and other. HIV director is sitting here, so she knows what I'm saying. Save a lot of money. You see? So I think that godliness can hardly fail to get into your finances and your business and the too many things that are in the Word of God about godliness affect every area of your life. Yes. They affect your marriage. Yes. Because without godliness, you can't marry. Is it beautiful? Now, Psalm 1. I'm going to show you, because I don't know why you came. If you don't believe in these, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Because you are godly, and nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So your delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate. Day and night, he shall be like a tree. Martha, are we having scriptures? Huh? Yes. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Okay? That brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I mean, it's there. Blessed is the man who delights, it's verse 2. He delights in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the word of God. So when you become someone who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law do you meditate? You meditate in the word of God day and night. Then, verse 3 will happen. You become like a tree planted by a river of water. You get it? Like you join the right party.
Wow.
You understand? You position yourself at the right place. That's what it means. All right? And you bring forth your fruit in season. Martha, two screens, please, if you are here. And his leaf shall not wither. Whatever. Whether you sell bananas, whether you have a farm, whether you make chicken, you do eggs, you do this, you do that. Whatever he does. Whatever area of your life you are involved in, he shall prosper.
Amen.
So the word of God, is in his law does he meditate. I will give you a secret that will help you. I want to recommend my podcast. Is it any of the things here? Can you put it rather up? Just put it up there so that it's visible up there. Put them up there, please. You see that the podcast, it's available, you know, if you listen to the podcast, all right, you are likely to hear messages that I believe will help your life. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Podcasts and books. So I'm advertising God's word. If you listen, it will never not affect you. It will never not affect you. It will by all means affect you. Yes. By all means.
By all means.
You by all means be affected by the word of God. Yeah. And you see, and it is those who meditate in the word, they are the ones who prosper. So meditating in the word of God is when you listen and you chew over so that it goes deeper. Is it? Because if something doesn't enter your heart, it doesn't change you. It doesn't affect you. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. Beautiful. Now, this is a controversy where the disciples were saying that the Pharisees were saying that Jesus was eating things and putting things in his mouth which were not holy. So he was being defiled. All right. Now, Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 18. Mark chapter 7 and verse 18. All right. He says, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him?" Verse 19, "It cannot defile him." Martha, can you come on stage, please? "It cannot defile him because," notice that, "because it entereth not into the heart." You see, it cannot change him or affect him in any way. Look at it. "Because it entereth not into his heart." But it went to the belly. Until something has entered your heart, it cannot change you. It cannot do good or bad. It cannot do good or bad. Because it entereth not into the heart. So when you have the word of God, but it does not enter your heart, you hear verses, you say, "Well, I know this scripture, but it's not deep." And things are made to enter your heart when you start listening to preaching. Yes, when you start listening to preaching, it's the best way. You start to move. So podcast on your phone is the easy way to start. Or Facebook Live is also another easy way to watch videos on your iPad or whatever. And podcast, the technologies come, they do things good, they do things bad, etc. Are you with me? So it's very, very important that you believe that the word of God, and if you are here and you don't believe that God's word has something to do with prosperity, then you shouldn't be here, because we are only here based on the word of God. Yes. We are only here based on the word of God. Yeah. In his law does he meditate day and night. And once this law meditate, you chew over it and it gets into your heart, it will change you. Look, when the word of God entered into me, I was in medical school doing pharmacology, physiology, anatomy, biochemistry, so many things, you know. But When the word got into my heart, it changed me. It changed my destiny. I didn't want to do anything else. Look, I was doing A-level. I knew that I would be in the ministry. I was fasting whilst I was doing my A-level. When I went to the medical school for interview, they asked me why do I want to be a doctor? It was a difficult question because I didn't want to be a doctor. I wanted to be in the ministry. So I said, I want to heal people. Heal people. Then it started a whole discussion about churches. That was my interview, but I was in the first 10 for the whole country. I was the fifth person. So the first 10 apparently were being taken automatically. So those answers, I want to heal people and all those things, it didn't really matter. Yeah. But I was in secondary school when I knew that I belong to God. Yeah. It had entered my heart. I was changed. I now went to medical school for 7 years, 1982 to 1989. They tried to make me a doctor. As soon as I finished, I said, I'm a pastor. My heart had been changed. Yes. So you have to watch out for things that enter the heart. Are you listening to me? So if the word of God is not going to your heart, that's why it doesn't change you. So all the books and so on that we are offering you and sharing with you, when they enter your heart, it will change you. It will change you. And it will change something. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Now, 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, according as his divine power, all right, has given unto us all things, things that pertain to this life. You must see that God's word has an effect on this life. Amen. Pertain to this life and to godliness. So when we say this life, you may have thought, maybe it's your spiritual life. But godliness is mentioned separately. So it affects godliness, but it affects this life. Wow. Through the knowledge. You see, your life is affected. Are you with me? Your life is affected through the knowledge of Him who has called us. So through the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God really affects this life. You can't escape that reality. The knowledge of God affects business. The knowledge of God affects prosperity. The knowledge of God affects your ability to flourish. The knowledge of God affects your ability to rise, your ability to excel, your ability to even become wealthy. The knowledge of God is part of it. That's right. You may want to discard it, but you can't easily ignore that reality. Yeah. So God has called us His divine power. So this is how the power of God works. That's how the power of God works. God's power works by giving us all things through the knowledge. So the power works through the knowledge. You can't have this power unless you have the knowledge. The knowledge is bringing power into your life. And the knowledge of God. So learning about ministry is, of course, learning about God even in a higher way. It's even learning about God and learning the knowledge in a higher way. Oh, yeah. Learning about ministry, learning about church growth, you know, even learning how a church grows, learning how people are called by God may even show you, if you to study the book, how many are called, may even show you how you may be called and the area of business you are called to and the area you shouldn't try to be in. You'll be surprised because you will see the things about God and the things about what He has created are such that the knowledge of him, godliness, it comes to bear on this life. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So it's beautiful because you would have thought that somebody like me who is just a pastor, pure, I don't have a crossover ministry. I don't have a crossover ministry. And I don't want it. When I say crossover, like I'm both secular and here. Like I speak at secular institutions. No. I'm a church person. 100%. Yes. I'm not a motivational speaker. Motivational speaking cannot take us far. I'm not here to encourage you. I'm here about the word of God. And I'm showing you that godliness and the knowledge of God, it affects all things, including your business. Isaiah 48. Beautiful. And you'll notice that I'm just teaching you scriptures. Isaiah 48 and verse 70. So if you don't remember anything, you can take the scriptures. And through the scriptures, you can see yourself moving. Now, this is an introduction. Huh? Wow. This is an introduction of God to you. God is introducing himself. Let's look at Exodus 15, verse 26, before we look at this. Oh, beautiful. Now, God, the God that we serve, he made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Very, very great. You can't even understand. If you take one of the stars, it would take, with a jet, a British Airways jet, it would take 1,200 years to cross the surface of the star. 1,200 years. At the current speed of a normal British Airways or KLM jet. I'm trying to explain. I'll say it again. From here to London is 6 hours. From London to America is 9 hours. And it goes round to Asia, South Africa to come back is 24 hours. Okay. A normal plane today, it can fly continuously. 24 hours. If it had a fuel, it would go 24 hours. It would cross the whole earth. Now, the stars are so huge. Some of the stars that we have. Sirius, one of the brightest stars in the sky is called Sirius. S-I-R-I-U-S. Sirius and so on. It would take, for an average, one of the average stars, 1,200 years using a KLM. British or Emirates, any plane you choose. To go over the surface of the star. That's how big it is. One star. Those are the stars you are seeing in the sky as dots. Hanging there. It's massive. 1,200 years. Like you would give birth. And people would be giving birth on the plane and be buried on the plane, and your ancestors will be on the plane by the time you cross the star. One star. Yes. And they are so far that if you take some of the stars, like one of the stars are as far as 650 light years away. The nearest star to us is 4 light years away. 4. What is a light year? It means that when you see it, the light has traveled to you. So when you see it, it took 4 years for you to see it. So since the light was emitted from the star, we are in 2017. So the light from the nearest star, it was emitted in 2013 that has now reached the earth that you are seeing. And some of the stars are as far back as 650 light years. That's one of the furthest stars. So that means that the star you see, it was in the year 14 something or 12 something. That flash you are seeing is the 1200 and something. Yes, 13 something. That's how far. And the nearest star is Proxima Centauri, or the nearest star is the sun. And the sun, which you see so big, when they sent the Voyager rocket, flew from the Earth, going away from the Earth, away from the sun, to Saturn, to Jupiter first, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. You know, remember, my very eyes shall something. Yeah. That. You've not done your geography for some time. Yes. By the time the Voyager got to Neptune and then took a picture of the sun had become a dot, a star. So not knowing that the sun is just one of the stars. Beautiful. So this is the God. It's not easy to understand him and who he is. So from time to time, he introduces himself to us and tells you who he is. Are you with me? Now, one of the famous introductions which Christians know about is this Exodus 15, 26, the last line. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Or I am Jehovah Rophe. It's a common introduction that we know. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I send my word. Healed your disease. I am the Lord. Now, another famous introduction, which is less well known, is in Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 verse 17 is another introduction. Look at this one. It says, thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. And that scripture, that word profit, is a beautiful word in Hebrew. It means to become valuable. Wow. Yes, and it means to ascend. So he says, I am the Lord thy God. After he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee and all this, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. I am the Lord which teacheth thee, the Lord teacheth thee to profit. I sent my word and I prospered your life. I am the Lord that teacheth thee to profit. Probably we could sing that as well. I am the Lord that teacheth thee to profit. Yes. So God is introducing himself to you as somebody who teaches you how to profit and to prosper. And to become valuable. When they ask, what are you worth? What was he worth? What is this president worth? Declare your assets and your value. If you die now, what will there be to share? How much will there be to share? How much will there be? Yes. Would there be something to share? Would there be bills to pay? Would there be debts to clear? Or will you be valuable? And he says, I am the Lord that teacheth thee to be valuable and to ascend and to prosper. You are prospering today. Amen. Amen. I am the Lord that teacheth thee to profit. So you must believe all this. You know what happens with Christians is that we have beliefs and we don't expand our beliefs. Based on what you learn traditionally, you sort of stay with it and it takes a long time to change you. So God doesn't just heal. He also teaches you to teaches. He has teachings. He has teachings. That's how come you can come for a lab lab, but there are teachings. There are teachings that can teach you to profit. Yes, there are teachings. You may think that a churchman doesn't have much to do with that, but there are teachings. And the Lord that teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou... Now listen, God not only teaches you to profit, he leads you by the way that you should go, which is perhaps the superior part of the Lord which teaches you to profit. Yes. Why? Because Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you see, once he's your shepherd and he leads you, you shall not be in need. You shall not want, if you believe it. If you believe it. I hope you believe it. Do you believe it? Yes. So if God can lead you more in your life, if he can lead you more in your life, he will lead you by the way you should go. And he'll be the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You not being, first sign of being led by the shepherd. First, number one, you not want. So first sign that you are leading yourself, you want. First, not second. The Lord is my shepherd, instantly, colon, I shall not want. Semicolon, I shall not want. Straight, the instant. First sign that you are leading yourself is that you want. You are in want of all things. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. Isaiah 48:17. Let's go back to the introduction. This is the God who made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He says, I am the Lord that leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. Verse 18. Beautiful. Look at it. Fantastic. I like the things on the screen. If you can make this other screen work, it will be good, please. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. I wish you had hearkened to my commandments. That's what God is saying. I really wish you had hearkened to my commandments. Why? Then your peace would have been like a river. Like you would have been so much more peaceful. Today you have to pay this loan. You have to pay these people. You are under stress. Something is happening to you. You are going to say, your peace would have been like a river. And your righteousness like the waves of the sea. If you had listened to my commandments. You see, one of the things of real prosperity is peace. Peace. One of the things about real prosperity is peace. Because if you have so many things with crisis, troubles, problems, issues, this, that, stress, tomorrow, this is about to happen, this is coming your way, new thing is happening, something is about to change. Verse 19. Beautiful. Your seed would have also been Like as the offspring of thy bow, that thy seed also had been what? As the sand. Your children, your offspring. You know, you don't have to go to work at a certain point in your life. You know, things will be okay. Yes. Is it beautiful? Is it fantastic? Amen. So. Prosperity is very related to the commandments of the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 1. Beautiful. Psalm 112, verse 1. Amazing scripture. Look at it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Okay? Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that does what? Fears the Lord. So if you are in the house of God being taught to fear the Lord, This is, I mean, which is what you can expect when you come to the house of God. This is not a business school. This is a house of the Lord. What are you being taught here? Being taught to fear the Lord. And blessed is the man that delighted greatly in his commandments. So the commandments of God are of importance to us in this conference. Why? Keep watching. It's going to get better. Verse 2. His seed shall be mighty on the earth. So when you fear the Lord and you keep his commandments, your seed, your children will be mighty. It's not only that you will be prosperous, your children will be great. Your child will be a powerful person, a great person. His seed shall be mighty on the earth, and the generation of the upright, or a whole generation, will be blessed. Fantastic. This is people who fear God. You may think, what are you doing here to listen to whatever? Fearing God and keeping his commandment has a great effect. Verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in the bank. No, the wealth and riches shall be in his house. It's getting better, I told you. Wealth and riches shall be in the house of the man who fears God. Verse 1 says, bless the man who fears God and keeps his commandment. Verse 3 is telling you that wealth and riches will be in his house. Your house will be nice. Your house will be a nice house. Yes.
Blessing me, Bishop. My goodness. Amen.
And his righteousness endureth forever. Amen. Are you with me? Beautiful. Beautiful. So, fearing God and keeping his commandment has a lot to do with prosperity. Whether you want to connect the two or not, it's entirely up to you. But the word of God connects them. God introduces himself as, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you may say, it's the doctor who healeth me. No problem. That's your mind. The Lord also says, I am the Lord, I am the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the God which teaches you to profit. You can also accept, oh no, I learned to profit at business school or school of admin or a motivational school or whatever. But I choose to believe that God teaches me to profit. The word of God teaches me to profit. Hallelujah. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Is it powerful? Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. Hallelujah. Now, knowing God has a lot to do with blessings. I don't know if you people know, I have a book called How to Neutralize Curses. Do you have it somewhere? I believe it's somewhere. Oh yeah, it's right there. Beautiful. How to Neutralize Curses. You know? If you read this book, for instance, about the part where it's talking about the best blessings and curses on Israel, you see that perhaps it's the only thing that can explain why Israel is blessed. Because the whole of Israel will be like maybe the Akans in Ghana. The trees and the Fantis and Brung and Hafo people. You know, that would be about the whole of Israel. You know, so you wonder why the Ashantis and the Akans have not prospered in the same way. Because it's a clear defined group. Akan speaking people. That's the like the middle of Ghana is like that, the whole of that. Eastern region, Brung and Hafo, Ashanti, Western, Central. It's quite a major group. Yes, it's about the same size of the Jews. Ghana is 25 million. Israel is about 9 million or something like that. So if you just take out that section, you know, why have we not, if you check the number of inventions by these Jews, number of Nobel Prizes they've won, even compared with their neighbors, the Palestinians, no. It's amazing. Or compared to people from Jordan or Syria, there is no comparison. There's something working. You go to America, those of you who may not know America, go to America, if it's law firms, Jewish law firms. My brother-in-law used to work at a Jewish law firm, all over. You lose your job if you don't work on Sundays. There for them, Saturday is day off. Jewish hospitals, Beth Israel, Israel something, Israel, plenty. Law firms, medical, med scientists, rocket, banks, all the banks. Wow. Either it's a Jewish bank or they running the bank. Wow. All the computers. Wow. What is his name? Even Microsoft is being headed by a Jew. Now, and a lot of them, it's all in the book you see. Either is he or his wife. Say this Benz was invented by a Jew. Many of the cars, but they didn't. Hitler hated it because they were fighting them. It was invented by a Jew. First car in the world by a Jew. All the media, CNNs and what have yous and all, Warner Brothers, best actors, directors. This. I don't know why I don't see many people from Koforidua or from many people from these places, you know, becoming, inventing things and getting prizes. I don't see any group that is so strange. Or you've noticed such people. I maybe I'm here to find out. Writing books and I mean becoming, I don't know what it is. Facebook belongs to a Jew. Facebook, the founder, what's his name? Zuckerberg is a Jew. So is it there are blessings and that there seem to be something divine about prosperity and doing well. You know, so you can't separate those realities. Yes, Deuteronomy 28. I'll show you that. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1. He says, if thou shall hearken, it shall come to pass that if thou shall hearken diligently to what? To the voice of the Lord, thy God, to observe to do this commandment, then the Lord will set thee on high above all nations. So it's like you'll be above other countries and groups. Yes. Yes. If you can listen to the voice of the Lord. That is why I say to pastors, when I see pastors teaching business. You see, we don't need to teach business. We need to teach the word of God. But the word of God is directly connected to all these things. Yeah. I need not transform myself into a businessman or attempt to start giving you quotations from Henry Ford or quotations from Lee Kuan Yew or Obama. I don't need a quotation from Obama. I'm talking about the word of God. That all these will come on you. Huh? And the Lord will set you high above your all nations. Because he was talking to Israel as a nation. So everybody here has colleagues. And you should ask yourself, are you above your colleagues? Or are you down under? But if you hearken to the voice of the Lord, God will set you above your colleagues. In whatever area. Yes, if you can listen to him. Then it goes on. Notice. And these blessings shall come and overtake thee. If you hearken, wow, verse 3, beautiful. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Amen. I mean, wherever the Jews are, whether it's a city or whether it's a field, it's working for them. That's why in every country in Europe, they were hunted. They were hunted. They said, find the Jews in Czechoslovakia, the Jews in Ukraine, the Jews in Germany, the Jews in Holland, the Jews in France, the Jews in Austria, every whether the city, they were the same. They are always the richest. Wherever. They are the richest people. Whether field, whether city, you can call the country a field, they will be the richest. You can call the country a city, they will be the richest. You are receiving the blessing of the Lord on your life. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Yes. Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. That means your children will be blessed. The fruit of thy ground. Ah, the fruit of thy cattle. Thy kind, the flocks. You see, this is their business. Your flocks. It will be blessed. There will be a blessing and it will work. 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 Your blessed shall be your field. If you hearken, this is if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. If you listen to the word of God. That is why if I offer you books here about God and about the ministry, you cannot say, you don't have to say a book, say Business Keys 101. No, that's not what you need. Business Keys 101, how to be a millionaire. No, that's not what we are here for. Listen to the word of God. And you'll be surprised at the effect it had, the all-round effect the word of God has on everything that you do. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy soul. This is your bank. This is your bank account. Your basket and store, wherever you store money. Your storeroom. I mean, there's nothing in your storeroom, but from today there will be something in your storeroom. I mean, you have to have enough store that if you don't go out, if you don't go out of the house for the next 3 months, you can still stay in the house and eat. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Your store will be blessed. You need not go out to buy even soap or oil or salt or eggs or this or that. Whatever is more in the house. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Read it. If it's all connected to hearkening to verse 1. Please go back to verse 1. I think they've forgotten what is verse 1. You can see it says, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandment diligently, then all these shall come upon you, including blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Instead of your bank account, which is your store or your basket, being in the red. Rather, when you come to the bank manager will come out to greet you and take you to the office. Yeah, because somebody with a big store. Yes, or even the bank manager will travel to come to you. Yes, because of the nature of your store. Because you alone, if you go out of the bank can go down. That's going to be your testimony from now in Jesus' name. I have what people here that are going to be bank breakers. Bank breakers. Yes. And they will always be begging you for loan, to come and take loans. And you laugh in your head and say, I should take a loan and spoil my life. Beautiful. Continue. Let's see. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. If you listen to the voice of God, your traveling experience, you'll never be in a plane that will crash. Amen. You'll never be in a bus that will crash. Amen. Your car will go and come 1,000 times in Jesus' name. Wow. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten. Now, there is nobody here who cannot say you are not stressed in this life. True. Huh? Especially by some enemies. Is it not true? There are enemies of your life. Yes. There are people that are fighting you. Some of the people are like living demons. But the Lord will cause them to be smitten. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit down because of the people behind you. It's not a revival service. Uh-huh. It's supposed to be a conference. Verse 8. The Lord shall command blessing upon thee, upon thy storehouse. I want you to notice the word storehouses. So you have several accounts in several places to store your storehouses. Plural. Do you believe what I'm saying? I prophesy over you in Jesus' name. Yes. And in all that thou settest thy hand to do, he shall bless thee. Verse 9. And the Lord shall establish you. Verse 10. All the people will see that you are called and they will be afraid of you. Everybody in the world can see what's happening with Jews. And that will be your story too. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee, again, you see, and you notice the blessing has to do with like plenty of things. Everything is a lot. Yes. That's how it is. It's like it's becoming a lot. All the, if you read this, if you are not interested, you can just check the blessing of the curse on, I think, Jacob, a blessing. If you are not, don't want to read, you can see the shops. They own all. Plenty, a lot of things become a lot. You can't know what to do with it. Fruit of thy body, fruit of the ground, lot, more. You know, I look at some of the businesses we are doing, things very small. It's not becoming a lot. And the Lord shall open his good treasures. See, God has a treasure in heaven. Heaven to give you rain. And look at it. This is a blessing. And thou shalt lend to nations. And thou shalt not borrow. No borrowing. No borrowing. Yes. That's the blessing. The day I walked into Barclays Bank and begged them, give us a loan to build our church, Coligono. I begged the manager. I sat there after making an appointment. I walked out with a broken heart, thinking that God had forsaken me because they would not give us a loan. But I didn't know that God was rather blessing me. This was a thou shalt not borrow. But as I walk out of High Street, out of High Street branch, or the head, I don't know if it's the headquarters, High Street, I got and went back to Kolebu, very discouraged. No. He says, the Lord will bless you and thou shalt not borrow. You see, it's not everything we learn by a vision. Some of the things you learn from experience. And after some time, you look back and realize that, oh, this is what God was doing. It's like some of the people you wanted to marry. Maybe you ended up not marrying them and you were heartbroken. When you look back, you realize that God was blessing you. God was actually blessing you. You were crying, but God was blessing you. Yes. It says, thou shalt lend and thou shalt. Almost everybody whose business is a curse has loans. Almost all the people that I know who struggle financially, all of them have loans. Borrowing, and cannot pay. And the banks know it. They know that 70-80% of the people who take mortgages will never finish paying it. They have the statistics among themselves. So as they are giving you, they don't tell you. It's like giving you alcohol. If they are serving you cigarettes or whatever, they don't tell you, you will die out of this. You can have one place. You will die one third. Every three, one, two, three, die. Have some. Those go mad. These ones do this. They don't say it. They just advertise it. Good life. A sweet life. A good life. Drink for champions. And so on. Blessing is lending. The one who lends is the one who is blessed. And the one who borrows is the one who is cursed. That's it there. Read it. I didn't write the Bible. But you see, godliness affects all areas. Yes. If I've ever seen something that has the ability to bring down your business, almost the exact opposite of what is advertised, is a loan.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Something that has the ability to destroy people that are flourishing, people that are rising, people that are doing well, is the day that they decide to go and borrow. And they add things that they can never pay. And they don't even, also, of course, when you borrow, you have to think of how to pay back. But they don't do that. So I have so much money. I have to get a car, get for my chief executive, assistant chief executive, deputy chief executive, and a bus for the staff, and this for that, and pickups, and so on, and all are loans. And you see them with labels on the car, so and so limited, 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 and it's moving in town. And you say, wow, where do you work? I work at so and so limited. Wow. And people are very impressed. They say, where do you work? I work at so and so limited. That's the end of him. Most of them cannot and do not pay. And including the government cannot pay and do not. That's why we were declared highly indebted and poor. By the way, when I went to Zambia today, said, when I was mentioning HIPIC, then I said, oh, we too. After preaching for some time, I said, we too, we were also part of the highly indebted and poor that they have to cancel their debt. Can't pay. Shan't pay. Won't pay. What's the next verse saying? God shall make thee the head. This one too comes from God. Oh. Huh? This one too comes from God. The Lord shall make you the head. You'll be made the head of your organization. It's also from God. Sometimes you wonder who is made the head. It's from the Lord. Yes. President Akufo-Addo, he was supposed to have been the head, and he lost the election by 20,000. Only our church alone could have changed that vote. Only 20,000. But he was denied it because that was divinely what was supposed to be. So he was out. That's it. 20,000 votes. So, oh, he won the first round by 100,000. Came second round, so lost. Wow. So you see, becoming the head is like a fantastic thing that God decides. And as we've been in Ghana, we've been surprised election after election the way things turn. Yes, we have had so many surprises in Ghana. When Professor Mills became, he was doing door to door. My wife met him at Dansoman doing door to door. Not evangelism, I mean political campaign. Nobody thought he can ever be a president. Never. Out of it. So when he says, the Lord shall make thee the head. Believe it today that God can make you the head. And that is why when you become the head, you must be thankful to God.
Yes.
Yes. When God makes you the head, you mustn't say, oh, yeah, like Obama. You know, I was expecting great things from President Obama. But the first sign, negative sign, was his inaugural speech. No, not his inaugural speech. When he came out to acknowledge that he is won. He thanked everybody. He thanked even his dogs or his cats or whatever, and never mentioned God. That was the shock. I said, really? First black man ever to be elevated? Wouldn't say thank you to God? Is it not unusual? Is it not a miracle? Is that not a supernatural hand in it? No thank you to God? You are thanking your children, your dogs, your family, your workers, but no God. He says, God shall make you the head. You shall be above. God makes the head. God makes you a head. God is making you a head. And when you become a head, you must not be some way.
Yes, sir.
You know, one day somebody was elected, and I don't know whether we were going to see the person. He was complaining. He said, this small post that I've got, these pastors are always worrying me. He was elected. So he lost the next one. He was out. Yes. Small post that I've got, these pastors are always worrying me. That was it. No more worrying. Go and rest. Now, verse 15. But it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, then all these curses will come and overtake you. Now, verse 16. Cursed shall be thou in the city and in the field. So that means if you go to America, it doesn't work. If you stay in the field, which is Ghana, it still doesn't work. Cursed in the city, cursed in the field. Everywhere there's a curse. That is based on verse 15, that if you do not obey the commandments and his statutes. So that's what I'm explaining to you, that is why we are here, and that is why there's even a basis for a pastor. Hallelujah. To share the word of God with you, and it can affect your business, it can affect you flourishing, it can affect you prospering, because not the commandments of business, the commandments and the statutes of God.
Okay.
Can affect your business, your life, and so on. Beautiful. Cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall thou be in the city. Now look at this. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. So, banco. Your balances are not working. Your storeroom is dry. Now, I want you to notice something that God is keep on talking about storeroom. You see, the fact that we don't even have stores, storehouses, and storerooms and stores of things. Like, things are not in excess and surplus that you can just pick from the storehouse and give. You see, it shows something is not working. Yes. Where is the storehouse? Because if I ask you for $10,000, $20,000, you should be able to pick from your storehouse, not to pick your last kalo, your last, whatever last reserve of your life's whatever to take. But if you have storehouses and you say, oh, he has asked for this out of our storehouse, take this, because you have storehouses, you can give. Receive storehouses in the name of Jesus. Yes. And storehouses is what keeps you going at a level playing field, whether this party is in power or this party is in power or whichever is in power, it keeps you going because the storehouses are there. You don't need any particular person to be in power. Yes. Verse 18. Cursed shall be the fruit, your cows, your farms. The chicken farms in Ghana are operating under a curse. That's why the chicken farms have gone, finished. There's no more farm. Everybody had a chicken farm. Big chicken farms. We are now importing eggs. And if you see me after church, I'll tell you how to check your egg. You'll be surprised. The egg you are eating, it was laid in April. It was laid in January. We are now selling it. It has been the summer. You'll be surprised. Last year's egg, it is there. You are frying it. You wonder about some of the diseases that are coming. Yes. You know, I just decided to check some eggs. Wow. I said, no, this egg, I want to check. I checked it. I said, look at it. It's swimming. Swimming. It's almost a chicken. And you're about to eat it. Now I check all eggs. Before I, yeah, before, if you, I'll check it. I want to check it before. Yeah, I check it right now. Beautiful. Are you listening? Yes. I mean, the chicken farm finished. Cows. We don't have cows. You know how much a Swiss cow is? Very expensive. Beautiful beef. Yesterday I passed by Coligono. They have some cows in some. Honestly. You know, one person I know, he went there and he said he couldn't eat meat. He didn't eat meat again for a long time. Yes. Kesa be thy kind. That's your cows. The flocks. Yes. Ill-favored. That's why I was suggesting to the government that they should do something so that people can, we can have our own chicken instead of the hormone injected chickens that are not, nobody will eat it in Denmark. No, never. They will never eat it. When you buy it, it's soft like bread. It's like plantain. You buy it, it's like fried soft killer willy. Just like that. It's chicken on. Yes. And some of the supermarkets, I saw one of, they came to buy at another place. The one they sell, they don't eat it. The imported one, they don't eat it. Those who are selling don't eat it. Yes, we saw them coming to buy at another place. I will not mention names. They came to buy at another, the one they are selling, they don't eat. No, you cannot eat it. You cannot eat it. That's why a girl, 9 years old, they are having their period. If the injection that have been given to the chicken to grow fast. Chickens without feathers, you see them growing faster. Hey. Yes, faster than the feathers. And the beef, all the things they are bringing. Yeah, cursed shall be. You see, and if all these are poverty, like, you ask yourself that why in Ghana will we import eggs from Cote d'Ivoire? Eggs that we fry. How many months old is the egg? Cursed shall that be coming in verse 20. The Lord shall send upon thee vexation days that till you are destroyed. Continue. And it goes on. And pestilence, sickness, curses of poverty, all these are related to the next verse. And they are related to not obeying God. And you may ask yourself, what is the connection between sickness and disobeying God? But the Bible is giving us the connection. There is a connection between knowing God and prosperity. Job 22. I'm giving you the connection between ministry, God, and business, and flourishing. 22 verse 21. Now, notice. You see, excuse me. Have you noticed that we've not seen giving and receiving here? You see, that's what I was explaining, that giving money is, it's not that it's not important, but it's a small aspect of prospering. Giving. It's not a game. Give 100. Okay, give 1,000. Then you prosper. I mean, God is not a casino. You've not been to a casino before where they put the money, then you press it, then it's like more comes out. I mean, an offering basket is not a casino basket. You put it in, then you press, room. Then 2 weeks' time, more money is coming to you. Let's be serious. Yes, let's be serious. Let's grow up. There's more to prosperity than giving money away. It's definitely a part, but it is not as big as it is. The big part is this one. It's fearing God, knowing God, and getting close to God. Being spiritual, godliness is affect every area of life. Godliness is profitable. It's definitely beneficial. Godliness, going to church, knowing God, being close to God, is beneficial to every every aspect of life. Yes. You see, I'm sure you'll be surprised to hear what I'm saying. This giving and receiving is not again. Because like a pastor, it's like we want people to give. And so let me tell you, you know, we are not here to play games. We are here to hear the word of God itself. It's a real part of it, but it's not everything. And all these things we've seen, all that I'm reading, we've not yet seen giving anywhere. Amazing. I'm showing you the connection between prosperity and Christianity and the word of God. We have not yet seen giving shall be this, giving shall be that. I'm just showing you. Look at what he says here. Acquaint yourself. I want you to look at this verse slowly. Acquaint now thyself with him. You see, acquaint yourself with God and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Good will come to thee. So acquaint yourself with God and be at peace, and thereby good shall come unto thee. Again, I'll read it. Acquaint yourself. So let's get to know God. Remember, he said, I never knew you. I didn't know. Look, I want you to listen to tapes, preaching, watch videos, read books, get a book for your toilet, put one book in your toilet, have your Bible. Read all the books are leading you to the Bible. Even as you are here, I'm preaching now. I'm leading you to the Bible.
That's right.
Only Bible. I'm leading you to the Bible. There's no quotation from Lee Kuan Yew. There's no quotation from Attila the Hun. There's no quotation from Alexander the Great. There's no quotation from Confucius. There's no quotation from Gandhi. Okay? Acquaint yourself with him. Acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby, good shall come unto thee. Verse 22. Beautiful. Now, receive, I pray. I beg you, are you watching this verse? You look at it on the screen. It's nice on the screen, you know. You can listen to that message after on your podcast. It's free. You don't have to buy anything. It will come straight to your phone. If you do the podcast, it's coming straight to your phone. Even the video, you get it free. Podcast, free. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thy heart. Remember, I was telling you that what is in your heart, you get it. That's what affects you. So once it hasn't entered your heart, it hasn't changed you. That's why Jesus said, it's only what, it cannot defile you, but it entered not in the heart. Beautiful. Receive, I pray thee, the law. So, the word of God is something you are going to be receiving more of all the time. More of the word. And lay up his words in thine heart. Beautiful. Verse 23. Now, if thou return to the Almighty. This is talking about God. Thou shalt be built up.
Amen.
You see, God wants to build you up. Build you up spiritually, build you up financially, build up your homes, build up your houses. If you come to the Almighty, you will be built up.
Amen.
So that's how come a pastor like myself has a lot to contribute to your prosperity and the blessing and the prosperity of your business and your work, or even your politics, whatever work you are doing, because godliness affects all areas. This is the point that I'm trying to really emphasize to you. Yes. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. You keep money, you keep iniquity far from you. You keep sin and evil and wickedness far from your life. Is it not powerful? Very, very powerful. And what's going to happen in verse 24? Then, thou shalt lay up gold. You see, you think that it's not in the Bible. It says, then, after you've taken his law, after you've received his word, after you've accepted and acquainted yourself with God, then thou shalt lay up gold as dust.
Hey.
And the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks.
Amen.
You become so wealthy. Remember we said, better is the man that fears the Lord and keeps his commandment His seed shall be mighty in the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed, and wealth and riches shall be in his house. Psalm 112. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. This one is saying, acquaint yourself with God. Learn about God. Let his word come into your heart. Then you lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. And verse 25, and the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Why don't you clap for Jesus? I think it is very powerful connection between the commandments of God and your well-being, your flourishing, your prosperity. Yes, that's why I'm not sharing with you business. Honestly, I haven't read any of those books. Business 101, Millionaires Principles, this, I don't have time for it. Because I can see that following God is enough. It's enough. I can't even get enough of God. Wow. Is it amazing? How many want more of God? Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, I'm still on my introduction. Now, the next one is number 7. I don't know how many points you have. You don't have points. You just have verses. But that's what you need, isn't it? It's the verses you need. I'm showing you the connection. Now, another connection is the connection, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. I'm showing you a connection between God and prosperity. Beautiful. Second Chronicles 20, verse 20. What does it say? Second Chronicles chapter 20 says, and they rose up early in the morning and went before into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, O ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, and so shall you prosper. So, again, believing in the prophets and a true prophet is talking and sharing the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. That's a true prophet sharing with you the knowledge of God. All right? And that is something you cannot avoid. You cannot escape the reality. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. The true prophets. True prophets. Luke 1, 76. Listen. Thou child shall be called. I want to show you what a true prophet. A prophet is not someone who is doing magic to take money from you. A real prophet doesn't need anything from you. It's fake ones who need things from you. Real prophet doesn't need you. Need him. He doesn't need you. You need him. Thou child shall be called a prophet of the highest. This is the highest. You know, there are people that are called senior prophets, major prophets, and so on. This is prophet. This one is highest. This one is called highest. Prophet of the highest. Okay? Now, let's look at what a prophet of the highest does. Teaching. Are you with me? Yes. Huh? Teaching. Those of you who have a prophet come and tell you, buy me a Toyota. I saw a text. So, you know, I couldn't believe my eyes. He showed me, buy me a Toyota saloon and then a four-wheel drive something and you will have a child. Yeah. Yes. Two cars, not even one. Yes, I did go. Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For what? For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. So someone who is preparing for the Lord's coming, that's a true prophet. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation. You see, a true prophet is giving knowledge of salvation. Not just telling you little tricks, what you color you are having, this thing you are wearing, your car number. And so it's good. They are all good things. But listen, little things to make you, to lead you on, you don't see that in this passage. He says he will give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. This is you, the highest prophet. This is it. Read your Bible. Verse 78. Amazing. Through the tender mercies of God. This is a true prophet. So that is why when Lazarus and the rich man, when the rich man went to hell and the rich man was saying, please send my brothers. He said, no, the prophets are there. Real prophets who will give knowledge of salvation. Verse 76. When the rich man went to hell and he said, my five brothers are going to come here. He said, there are prophets there. They would warn them about hell and heaven. To give knowledge of salvation. Thou shalt be called the highest, prophet of the highest. Please, anything I say that is not based on the Bible, throw it away. It's not worth your energy. Your brain shouldn't even retain it. But if it is there, you have to receive it and flow with it. And God is going to bless you mightily. Amen. Now, I believe that there is one person that exemplifies this connection. Again, you can see so far, nobody is giving any money. The prophets... By a prophet you shall prosper, and so on. You can see that it's about the word of God, believing in the word of God, and so on. His commandment, fearing him, believing in him. Job chapter 1, verse 1. Beautiful. Job. This is a man. It says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And this man was perfect and upright. He feared God and eschewed evil. He feared God seriously. This is a very good example. This is the greatest businessman in Asia. He was from the east. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep. Huh? 7,000 sheep. 500 yoke of oxen. 500 she asses. A lot of, and a very great household. So that, underline this part, the man was the greatest of all men of the east. The greatest, most, this is the Bill Gates of those days. This Bill Gates from Malaysia or from China or from whatever. He was the greatest of all men from the East. The greatest. Beautiful. The greatest. The greatest. Huh? Of all men of the East. Now, go back to verse 1. I like verse 1. It says, verse 1, there was a man, he was perfect, upright, he feared God. You see, it was connected to him being the greatest in the East. He feared God. He feared God. He had the fear of God. Beautiful. You see, that's why I'm not here trying to teach you about Lee Kuan Yew. Do you know Lee Kuan Yew? No, how many have not been to Singapore yet? You'll be there. You'll be there soon. Maybe one of these days we'll have a Lablam conference in Singapore. Because Ghanaians don't need visas to go to Singapore. So you can go easily, yes. I need you to prosper so that when I say the conference is in Singapore, it's easy for you to come there. When you go to Singapore, you will understand. You know. And Lee Kuan Yew was a very great person. I have all the books of his biography like this. I bought all of them, but I have not been able to read them. Because the Bible is giving me so much, I have not had time to read it. Verse 5. So it came to the days when his children were, you know, doing parties and so on. He sanctified, prayed for them because, you know, perhaps maybe they were sinning. Verse 6. Beautiful. And now there was a day when the sons of God, these are fallen angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. I mean, maybe they were good angels, but they were called sons of God. Now, the Lord said to Satan, where are you from? He said, I'm up and down, up and down. I've been moving. I've been going up and down. You must be stable in your church. Amen. Satanic movements are up and down movements. Oscillating, never steady, moving from place to place, causing problems everywhere. Verse 8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth. Huh? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Amazing. A good person in the sight of God himself. Verse 9. The greatest businessman. Now you see, this is the spirit world. We are looking at the spirit world. We are looking at the God who made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we are seeing differences and certain things. All right. He says, does Job fear God for nothing? There is a reason why he fears God. And there must be a good reason why you fear God also. You must know that God is connected to many things. Amen. Verse 10. Now notice, this is the explanation. Has thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You see, this is the master secret. You see that the real thing is the blessing of God on the life of Job. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. So the work he's doing is blessed. Whatever the work is, it doesn't really matter. Because I'm doing church work. And I'm blessed. The church work is blessed. Yes. So whatever work you do, it be blessed. And he says, I am the Lord that teacheth thee to profit, leadeth thee in the way that thou shalt. So God will also lead you in which work to do. Yes. If you can believe it. And thou hast blessed the work of his hands. And what has happened? His substance is increased in the land. His substance is increased in the land. And Satan will say, I'm not allowed to touch his things. I have not been allowed to touch his thing with my destructive fingers. If I could get access to him, I would destroy him. But you don't allow. So demons are ready to destroy and kill. But unless God allows. So look at verse 9, the question, does Job fear God for nothing? So you see, I want you to be a God-fearing person, and it's not for nothing, for a very good reason. It's very connected and very linked. Does Job fear God for nothing? There is a very good reason why Job should fear God, and there is a very good reason today why you should fear God.
Yes.
Very, very good reason. And it's very connected to you prospering and doing well in your business. Amen. Tell somebody, I think I don't need any more evidence that prosperity is connected to God. How many are blessed with the reality that prosperity is connected to God one way or another? Amen. Stand to your feet, everyone. And I want you to just speak a word of prayer.